This is an Aero News Touch and Go for January 28, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The U.S. State Department recently rewarded a flight instructor $5 million for tipping off the FBI to Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui a month before 9/11. Clarence Prevost, a former U.S. Navy pilot, told the Bureau Moussaoui showed up with no apparent grasp of flight basics, but insisted he be taught to fly a 747, paying with 68 $100 bills. Now, CFI's Hugh Sims and Tim Nelson, who also contacted the FBI about Moussaoui in August 2001, are questioning why they weren't recognized along with Prevost and why they didn't share in the reward. In interviews with CNN, the men emphasized they acted not because they were looking for a reward, but because they wanted to do the right thing. Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman criticized the exclusion of Sims and Nelson, noting that both were previously recognized by the Senate in 2005 with a resolution honoring their bravery and heroism. An official with a reward program would say only that the FBI, quote, considered relevant information about the two others before making the nomination for the award and determined that the one individual was the one deserving of it, unquote. Moussaoui is the only person so far tried and convicted in connection with 9/11. CNN said Prevost could not be reached for comment on the controversy. In a speech to the Aero Club of Washington last week, Transportation Secretary Mary Peters told a gathering of aviation industry leaders that Congress needs to act, and act soon, on an FAA reauthorization bill. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association agrees, but criticized her proposals about user fees, tax increases, and congestion pricing as old and rather tired. In 2007, both the House and the Senate rejected the FAA's own proposal for user fees and a 70-cent per gallon tax on avgas and jet fuel, although the Senate version does include a $25 flat rate fee on each Terman IFR flight. The full House approved its version, supported by AOPA, but the Senate is still debating two competing versions. If either passes, it will have to be reconciled with the House version. TL Ultralight has introduced its new Sting S3, described as an evolution which brings several improvements to the already highly regarded Sting Sport. A new wing maintains the earlier profile, but with added span, area, and aspect ratio. The company says the result is a lower stall speed, faster climb, and more efficiency. Stall is now 39 knots clean, 34 with full flaps. Cruise at 75% power is 116 knots. Rate of climb with the 100 horsepower engine is in excess of 1,100 feet per minute, and takeoff roll as little as 255 feet. Equipped for cross-country or night operation, S3 starting prices range from $121,500 to $123,650. NASA announced last week that shuttle launch operators will not require all four engine cutoff sensors to be operational when Atlantis finally lifts off the pad next month. On Thursday, NASA's Program Requirements and Control Board recommended launching Atlantis on February 7th, even if only three of the four sensors installed in the shuttle's external fuel tank give the proper readings during fueling. The decision to launch with three working sensors was expected to be approved at a flight readiness review on Friday. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you more about these stories. NTSB says a helicopter pilot flew too low and hit wires. The sky is falling, and it might also be toxic. And here's why they tell you to have all the available airport info when you take off. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today my guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about back doors, a metal tool for better aeronautical decision-making. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.